I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there, and I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
But now we're going to turn our attention to boxing, and I'm delighted to say that Amy Broadhurst is in the studio with me. Amy, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's been an exciting couple of months for you. Congratulations.
Thanks you're very much.
Expecting your first child.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
A bit nervous, but the excitement is starting to kick in now, and it seems like I'm more than halfway there, and it just seems like it's going to be very long, but at the same time, we'll be here before we know it. So I'm looking forward to the next chapter of what's to come.
I think a lot of expecting mothers say similarly that parts of it absolutely fly and then other parts feel a little bit like a drag, or that it's never going to end and you're never going to have the tiny human in front
yeah.
of you.
Yeah, like at the beginning of the pregnancy was very tough because I was sick all the time, and I basically went from what I was to being the complete opposite to like things I was eating and just things I was interested in, and I had no energy to do anything. And I was kind of like, if this is the way pregnancy is going to be the whole way through, I'm not going to enjoy it. And then come week 14, then it was starting to die down, and I was enjoying it then.
How did you find the adjustment of going from being, you know, competing in a sport like boxing, having to do everything very carefully when it came to your body, your food intake, you know, dealing with injuries, to then kind of having to switch up your mindset to being pregnant and also going through that intense sickness?
It was very, very hard because I'm so used to being active and training and having a good routine to then actually not knowing what each day is going to entail, really, because you could be sick and you're just lying in the house all day. And it became very, very monotonous because nothing was changing for me. It was just like a cycle that was just happening all the time. Whereas 6 months beforehand, I was training 2 or 3 times a day and I was in good shape, and it just, things just done a U-turn for me. But at the same time, I've never took more than a month off boxing. So to actually be forced to take a year or so out of the sport is, I think, will do me the world of good.
I was going to ask how you're finding the mental side of that, because it's obviously a very different way of approaching your life and a very different way of going about things.
Yeah, it's like, I know it's going to be very difficult to balance both of them, because you also need to be there for your child now. Like, he's going to be my main priority, but at the same time, when you're going back to boxing and you're like, that's my career, so he's going to be the main motivator for me now to go out and do well and be successful.
You'll have to do Julianne Russell, who plays with the Irish women's national team. She brings her baby Rosie to all the camps and stuff. And she had the special celebration because Rosie can't wave properly yet. So she kind of waves backwards. Anytime Julianne scores a goal, the whole team would do the celebration. So you'll have to come up with something for whenever you win in boxing to commemorate your little boy. How then do you reflect on your 2024? Because brilliant news to come to the end of it and have this little bundle that's coming very soon, but the start of it was incredibly difficult with your boxing career and having to make the switch from Team Ireland over to Team GB. Now, reflecting on it, how do you look at it?
It was very it was sad. There was a lot of emotions involved with, like, from January to May. And there was a lot of, I'd say, resentment, anger, sadness. There was a lot built up in me. But come September, October, obviously I was pregnant as well, but when everything mellowed as well a little bit, I kind of took a step back, and a lot of that has gone now. And, like, I'm on a different journey, a different path now. And, like, I know I will be back to where I was eventually. But it was very, very difficult mentally to go through what had happened. Like, it was crazy because in March I was on the Irish team, and then at the beginning of April I was going flying to America with Team GB, and it all happened very, very quickly that I didn't have time to think about what I was actually doing. And even if someone says to me, do you have any regrets? I don't, because I seen an opportunity there for the Olympic Games that I've always dreamed about, and I took it. But it was just so intense, and like going from one group of people that you've known for 7-8 years to then going over to unknown and sort of having to get to know these people in such a short amount of time was very, very difficult. And then things going on in the background as well. It was a lot. And that's why I think, because I'm pregnant now and I'm being forced to take that year away, it's going to do me a lot of good, rather than, like, the plan was to go pro. And I wanted to, but at the same time, I didn't want anything to do with boxing, because it was going to be a sprint then from actually losing in Thailand to then going and switching career, or maybe I had to move. It was just a lot. So once I found out I was pregnant, then it kind of answered a lot of questions for me, because I'm going to stay amateur and I'm going to go for the next Olympics. Whereas, like, if I wasn't pregnant, I could be living in America right now, because, like, Owen was offered a job with America. So we were thinking about that. And then when we found out in September that I was pregnant, we were still thinking about it. But then it wouldn't have worked out, because he'd be away all the time anyway.
Mm.
So I'd be in America on my own, looking after a baby on my own. And it just, well, everyone, like his family and my family is here. It wasn't adding up to actually be the right choice, so.
Sounds like a level of intensity that you potentially did not need after the year that you've already had. Take us back then to that time and missing out on the selection with Ireland. Like, how quick was the turnaround for you in terms of looking at Team GB and potentially going with them?
Yeah, it was, well, the whole process with Ireland actually was going on a long time. It wasn't just like, you're not being picked and then that's it. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors that, again, like, was very, very difficult to deal with. And then I was kind of, personally, I felt I was messed around a lot by certain people in the high performance. And then when they told me I wasn't picked, I was obviously very, very upset. But as soon as GB heard that I wasn't picked, they jumped on it straight away and they emailed me and they says, if you're interested for competing with GB, we'd like to take you as our 60. So it was kind of, I made the decision on emotion, because I was obviously very upset. I wanted to go to the Olympic qualifiers and I said, yeah, no problem. So it ended up the process, I think they messaged me or they emailed me on the Friday, and I think by the Wednesday I'd flown over then, and
wow.
I was part of their set up and meeting everyone. And it was crazy, because, like, there's a difference between the female teams. Like, Ireland has an amazing female boxing team, whereas GB I don't think would be as strong. And it was like, when I went over, I was treated like royalty. Whereas, because everyone in Ireland, like, you'd have Aoife O'Rourke, Kelly Harrington, Michaela Walsh, they're all amazing, that no one's treated the way I was treated at GB. So for me, that made things a lot easier as well.
Mm. And when you say you felt like you were messed around a bit with the high performance unit, was that feeling like you were being led on in terms of promises that were made with selection or potential, you know, Olympics down the line? Or what exactly was it?
So I think everyone knows now that my partner is an Irish coach. And it was after the European Games, we kind of just came forward and said we were seeing each other. But there was another situation going on behind the scenes as well. So they had to, the procedure had to be taken the same. So after the European Games, I was kept away from the high performance until November. And they were making the decision about the second world qualifier in December. And I was told I wasn't picked for that one. And I kind of expected that, because I'd been kept away. And they said they kept me away to protect me. I don't know whether that was true or not, but so I ended up going back to the high performance then in January, and I was training, and I had a shoulder injury after the European Games that could have been, like, there was nothing wrong with it come January, but it was a constant, no, you're not able to spar yet, you're not able to do pads yet, you're not able to do this yet. And it came to March and I was still not allowed to push on. And no one knows, but I was actually sparring away from the high performance because there was nothing wrong with me. So then it just all came down to like ticking the boxes. She hasn't been here really. She's injured. And even though I was getting messages saying we'll take into account that you're back this year, they didn't.
Mm.
And the hardest part of it was like I was thinking, am I good enough? Or like people were saying she's not good enough for the number one spot. But then when you look at the results that I've brought back for Ireland in the 2 years, I've lost one fight out of something like 15 fights. And I brought back 5 gold medals. So, and they were all at different weights as well. So it wasn't as if it was just one weight where I was lucky.
Mm.
It was like I'd be a world silver medalist at 66. And then the Chinese girl who made the Olympic final, I'd beaten the year before. And it was just that was very, very difficult because if you actually believed that I wasn't the number one or I wasn't good enough, still give me an assessment. And if I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. I think that would have been easier to deal with. But because they didn't give me even an opportunity to even prove myself, I think that's what hurt the most. It was just like, you're done.
Because
they knew, I think a lot of people knew as well, that if I wasn't picked for the Olympics, I was going to go pro. So it was just, there was a lot more to it, but I'd be here all day. So
there was a lot going on in the background. So then you go to Team GB, and as you say, you're treated almost like a celebrity with them. What was that like being in that group of people that you hadn't really spent a whole lot of time over? Obviously, there was certain people who had their opinions about it as well over there. But what was your experience of it?
Again, it was very, like, the initial beginning part of it was very, very tough because had it been the other way around, I'm sure, like, if I was one of the girls at 60 kilos over there, I'd feel the way they were feeling. Like, it was a bit mad, and it was something that you'd never really had seen before. And I went over and I knew the two girls would be there, and like they knew why I was there as well. So it was very awkward. And then the team itself, though, they were very welcoming. Like I clicked very well with Charlie Davison. She's the 54 kilo. And then Rosie Eccles as well, who beat me in the European Games. I got along very well with them, and they kind of put their arm around me and showed me about the place. And as well, the coaches were very, very, very welcoming and very good to me as well.
And so you were saying that the plan now is not to go pro, aim for LA for the next Olympics. Does that mean do you have to stick with Team GB now, or how does it work? Or
I honestly have no clue what way it works. In like my goal is have the baby, please God, everything goes well, and then I'll look, my main goal is the Commonwealth Games, and I think that'll tell a lot of answers.
Mm.
I think if I can represent Northern Ireland, then you'd start looking into, like, could I come back to Ireland? Because, again, I loved representing Ireland, and I have a lot of time for Zora Antia, who's their head coach. But then at the same time, if I can't represent them, I've enjoyed working with GB as well. Like, it's a very, very hard decision that is going to be made, but I'm glad it doesn't have to be made anytime soon.
I was going to say, you have a bit of time to think about it anyways, and with growing a human as well, lots of time sitting around. So what were the main differences that you kind of saw between the two setups, between, I suppose, in a more technical aspect when it came to, say, coaching or even just the facilities that were accessible?
I think when it comes to GB team, if you're putting the two teams beside each other, I think you're going to look at Team Ireland and you're going to see that Zora is the head coach.
Mm.
And as well, I found technically Ireland is better. And of course, because he's very, very good at teaching you, like, technically. Whereas when you go to GB, I'd never been as fit as I was in my life because they have you training 3 or 4 times a day. So sometimes when you're not fit enough, they kind of balance each other out.
Yeah.
So they were the main differences that I could see was, one, trains like horses, and then the others train hard, but technically they're a lot better and they know a lot more, really. Mm. So, but they both bring back results.
Yeah.
So,
well, what works for someone might work a little bit differently for someone else.
Yeah.
Were you able to watch the Olympics, or were you still at that stage where it was a bit too tough?
I watched some of it. I was in Galway for like 2 of the days and I didn't watch certain fights. But then we kind of started, like, I put a tenner on. I tried picking all the winners of the weights. So I was sitting at home then hoping certain boxers had won. And I could sit and watch it then, like, especially the men. I was able to watch, and then I watched Aoife and I watched Charlie. Like, I supported both teams.
Mm.
So I watched some of it, but I wasn't hardcore waking up or putting it on at certain times to watch it.
You weren't organising your day around it or anything.
Exactly. And I watched some of the other sports as well, like Simone Biles. I was following very, very closely. And Reece McLennigan as well. So,
His performance was incredible.
Brilliant,
for the medal. I watched it in Kildare. I was in a bar having some food, and I've never, like, everyone just stopped to watch it. It was on a big projector screen, and for those, I don't know how long it is, 90 seconds or whatever, it was like everyone was so tense just watching his hands, waiting for that one little slip that might come in, and then it was perfect and the whole place just erupted. And I love that when you get to see those sports treated that way, and we probably only really get to see it every 4 years properly.
Exactly, yeah.
Or maybe sometimes if there's a big world championship or a big European championship, we might kind of half pay attention, but it was brilliant.
And he's incredible, and like to go through the disappointment in Tokyo to then come back and win gold is unbelievable.
Mm, the mental strength that must have taken is beyond belief. And I mean, like, it's no different, though, for yourself as well, in terms of making such a big life shift to try and give yourself the opportunity to go to the Olympics and then that not working out. You know, I can imagine it must have been a serious time of introspection for you in terms of looking at what you wanted from your life and from your boxing career.
Yeah. Well, in a fairy tale world, it was always going to be get to the Olympics and go pro and sail off into the sunset then, but it was the complete opposite. And I suppose because it was such a sprint as well, like April to the end of May is 8 weeks. So like I didn't have time to process like what people were thinking, what people were saying and what was actually going on. I think it got like, it hit me when I was at the Worlds in Thailand and I was getting like, you have to get your rap signed.
Okay.
And I was getting my rap signed the first day.
Is that like by an official?
An official.
Yeah.
And he said, you're from Ireland. And I was like, kind. And he was like, you're world champion. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, you have to win now. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
No pressure.
Like, yeah. So that was like, it kind of hit me that it was a bigger story than just here in Ireland. Like in the boxing world, especially because of what I'd won, the shift or the move was a bit, was mad.
Mm.
And it was like, if you had to give me 3 or 4 months to think about it, probably wouldn't have done it.
Mm.
But because I had no time to think about it, and just the way I was feeling, it was
instant.
But like, I've no regrets at all, and I have a great time for Team GB as well. Like, they were brilliant to me.
Well, the fact that they brought you in with very welcoming, open arms, you know, that says a lot about the character of the squad and the coaches that are in there. How are you finding the idea of going back to training after being pregnant and getting yourself back into that place of fitness where you are competing at the top level?
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, getting pregnant was the answer that I needed, like, to know. Because there was a part of me that didn't want to box again.
Mm.
Like, too much had happened. And just the way I was emotionally. So as soon as I found out I was pregnant, and, like, you're told you're not going to compete for a year, you kind of realise then, actually, I do love the sport and I do love what I do. So I'm excited to actually, like, when the baby's here, like, start from the bottom. Like, I've no tone about me anymore. I've lost all my muscle. I've lost everything.
Is there anything that you can do or anything that you've chosen to do? Because I know in certain sports, say, like, Alex Morgan in football, she was able to play up until 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
But again, football, very, very different to boxing.
I can do, like, pads, and I've done some pads as well with Owen. I've done no running, and I've started doing a bit of walking and a little bit of weights as well, but nothing too mad, because you have people that say you can't go too heavy.
Yeah, of course.
So, and there's part of me that wants to let my body just be relax from it all, and then as soon as I start, I'll be able to see the progress that I've made from day one to my next competition. So,
well, because it already is going through a massive strain in growing a human. Mm. So, you know, there's not necessarily a need for you to put it through all that much more, so long as you're feeling happy and healthy. That's
exactly
the main thing.
Yeah, well, one of the one thing that I would have struggled with at the moment, or like through the whole pregnancy, is how my body is changing. So, like, I've noticed my face and everything, but my body has kind of like stayed the same.
Mm.
The same shape, whereas my belly's getting bigger and my face is getting bigger, and like, you can't do anything to help that. Like, that's your body changing for what it needs to do. So it's little things like that you have to get used to as well.
And you said about turning pro, that's off the table for now. You're going to stay amateur and go for the next Olympics. Is it off the table 100% in that if you make LA and then afterwards you decide that you want to change, or is it that's you now stuck with the amateur?
No, I will go pro, because yeah. I actually had my managers ready to go as a pro before the Olympics and before I went to Thailand. And unfortunately, the way the last 2 years went for me, my value as a pro went down. So my goal is to go, please God, go to the Olympics and get my value back up again, and actually give those people that are actually there for me beforehand, the managers, something back in return, if that makes sense, rather than, like, if I went pro now, they wouldn't make much of me for the first 2 or 3 years, whereas if you go and you win a medal or you do very well, your value is high and you can start off in a good place. So, and they were very good to me as well throughout the whole process with the switch. So they're two people that I'd like to give back to in the future.
And in terms of boxing in Ireland, especially female boxing, we've seen it with excuse me, Katie Taylor and Kelly Harrington and what they've achieved. It's in such a good place.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see it go from where it's at the moment?
I think once they get the whole boxing in the Olympics thing sorted, I think you're on a good road. There's loads of people coming up now, women especially. There's loads of young ones coming up that are bringing medals back from the Worlds and the Europeans and everything. Like Ava Henry, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's incredible, and she, from a young age, she's always been someone that I said she's going to be very good when she's older. So with the likes of them coming in and taking over from the likes of Kelly and Michaela Walsh, all of them girls, I think boxing will be in good hands. But they just need that elite development as well.
Mm.
So,
and is that developing more pathways for them, or more opportunities, or
more opportunities? Like, we're not brought into the high performance until we're elite.
Okay.
So I think 18 or 19, and then.
So you're missing out on a few crucial years there.
Yeah, yeah, and it does take a couple of years anyway for you to develop from that young girl into. Mm. A woman, a mature woman. Like, I didn't mature until 2022, and I was 25, so it took me all them years, and I was given experience, whereas these girls are, they have to wait until they're elite or out of the youth before they can actually come into the high performance and work with the likes of Zohr, and even like to have Kelly, the elite girls there to look up to
and learn from
and
as well
learn from,
I'm sure.
Yeah, they should. I think it should all be juniors, youths and so on, whereas it's kind of just elites and that's it.
Mm. Well, Amy, thank you very much for coming in. I hope the rest of your year goes well. It's a little less chaotic than your 2024 was. I think you went through more than most, especially at the start of the year. And of course, hope everything goes well with the pregnancy.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
I honestly think psychologically there's a bit of a mess there. And I think it comes from before what we're talking about with Real Madrid.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.